Where's the love?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open. A couple of things we're watching this morning as trading's begun. Some reports not boding well if you're thinking a financial fallout recovery was on its way. We'll get to those in just a second. Right now, where's Wall Street? Dow is down, up, a quarter of a percent. NASDAQ up more than half a percent at this hour, and the S&P 500 right now up about a third of a percent. European markets mixed. Asian shares lower by 2 and 3% today. All right, Julie Niemann, analyst with Smith, Moore & Company, joining us live from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
So new jobless claims up again, 637,000 last week. Wall Street not expecting that. And today we hear Chrysler will essentially fire all these dealers, right, about 800 of them. So no more or more jobs gone there. Will this ease up when the car makers are restructured and the layoff hole sort of gets plugged?
No, unfortunately, it's going to be more small business because that's who's in the spiral right now. We know about the automotive. That's the big thing. But what we saw last week, we had only 601,000 filing for unemployment, and that was because the government got out there and started hiring people for the census. New job formation is the big problem. You know, there is some, but there's not enough to cover the massive number of people who are being laid off and who are filing. So I think we have much further to go on unemployment.
All right. Well, Walmart this morning said its first quarter was flat, Julie, but that met expectations on Wall Street. Wall Street seems to like that, hence the numbers being up. We heard today that electronics giants Sony and Sanyo lost $1 billion each this fiscal year. I thought spring was thawing time, Julie, that people would start to shop again.
Well, they are shopping, but only for necessities. You're not buying any jewelry or flat-screen TVs, and that's why you're seeing all those postponable things basically suffer. Walmart sells all the necessities, and that's where everybody is still shopping to get that in the dollar store to get the best bang for the buck here. So that's where you're going to see any kind of uptick in sales is going to be where the necessities are. People are still not ready to part with anything and get out there and feel free to spend again, and
yeah,
they won't until they see jobs pick up.
Indeed. All right. Julie Niemann, analyst with Smith, Moore & Company in St. Louis. Thanks.
You bet.
Appreciate it. Today, the Treasury Department is expected to announce more steps to help troubled homeowners, including things to make foreclosure less of a credit record burden. And the International Energy Agency said this morning world oil demand would shrink this year by more than 2.5 million barrels a day, the biggest drop in 28 years. The price of a barrel fell to about $57 this morning. What can we expect for the usually more expensive summer season? Here's Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
There's a lot of oil sitting around right now, just waiting to be refined. Oil analyst Tom Closes says inventories may have fluctuated recently, but...
You know, the recession in the U.S. and globally is still making for very, very sloppy and very well-supplied oil markets.
Sloppy because there's more crude coming out of the ground than consumers are buying. But that doesn't mean gasoline prices will drop. Mark Wagner of XL Futures says refineries are cutting back on the amount of gas they pump out.
We believe they're trying to drive the price of the finished products higher.
But Tom Closes says refineries aren't to blame because they're just trying to recoup costs.
Whether you think an industry is populated by sons of Satan or whatever, you know, no business can really take a finished product and sell it for less than the raw feed.
And Closes says gasoline probably won't increase very much until the economy improves. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
The Morning Report on Thursday, May 14th, 2009, at marketplace.org. No surprise that the housing market is still far from being fixed, and the U.S. Treasury Department is announcing today more ways to stem all those foreclosures that keep happening. The latest steps to help homeowners, and here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
The administration has been trying to cut the number of foreclosures by allowing homeowners to modify their mortgages and make monthly payments a little easier. But in many cases, that's not working. So now officials are trying to make foreclosure less of a burden on a borrower's credit record. The plan will be announced later this morning. The idea is to allow delinquent borrowers to sell their homes for less than the amount left on the mortgage, or give the property back to the lender, which in turn will consider the loan paid off. The difference is the process doesn't have to be dragged out by months of costly foreclosure proceedings, and the borrower won't have the word foreclosure written in big red ink on future financial documents. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
You heard us mention Sony just a minute ago. Sony, of course, makes those thin, flat-screen televisions. Today, the Japanese company said it lost a lot of money in the last fiscal year. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
It's Sony's first annual loss since 1995. But its products have already been losing ground for years. The one-time portable music king first got bonked on the head by Apple's iPod. Then Sony's PlayStation 3 undersold Nintendo's Wii by half. Now its TV sale stands second to Samsung. Sony blames its losses on the global economy and on a stronger yen, which jacks up the price of every Japanese export. The company thinks next year will get even worse, as in losses of more than $1 billion. CEO Howard Stringer has ordered cost-cutting. Sony is losing 16,000 workers, several factories, and it may outsource TV making to China. But even if all that works seamlessly, some think the real issue is innovation. What Sony's missing is a must-have product. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Chrysler has an announcement today. It's cutting loose around 800 of its dealerships. GM will likely do the same down the road, except a lot more dealers. A wise move, or yet another example of foot shooting? Rico Galliano reports.
Chrysler has twice as many dealerships as Toyota. GM has four times as many. Car writer Lawrence Ulrich says that made sense when U.S. carmakers held 90% of the market. But these days, it's hurting their bottom line.
For too many General Motors dealers, the biggest competitor isn't the Toyota store. It's another General Motors dealer down the street who gets into a price battle with you for a shrinking group of customers.
But GM and Chrysler have signed franchise agreements, which make it hard to cut ties with dealers. Now, with bankruptcy looming, the companies have more leeway to break those agreements, which could actually help long term. But short term, Gary Diltz is with J.D. Power and Associates.
Well, if you terminate a dealer, you are obligated to buy back the current model year vehicles and parts. So that's literally hundreds of thousands of vehicles across the industry that are going to have to be repurchased.
And in this economy, it's unclear when or if GM and Chrysler will be able to sell those cars from the dealerships which remain. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Delaware has always been known as the first state, first in the Union, way back in 1787. And starting today, it'll be the first state east of the mighty Mississippi to legalize sports betting. That could mean $50 million more dollars a year to boost Delaware's budget. Here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
Delaware has decided to take advantage of a 30-year-old Supreme Court ruling that gave four states, Nevada, Oregon, Montana, and Delaware, the right to legalize sports gambling.
I think there is a tremendous underground economy that will start to surface in Delaware, and I think it's going to be a tremendous cash cow.
Even so, Republican State Senator Colin Bonini opposes legalizing bets on the outcome of sporting events on moral grounds and because he thinks it'll bring in too much cash.
And I think we're going to be so flush with money that we're going to spend even more irresponsibly in the future.
Plus, Bonini figures Delaware's move will be so successful its neighbors will want in on the action. Economics professor James Butkiewicz at the University of Delaware says legalized gambling is an attractive way for states to raise revenue.
And so if the state is taking a share of the house cut, that's a voluntary payment of taxes. You know, you don't have to fill out a form, and you certainly can choose not to gamble and pay zero taxes.
Another risk for Delaware, professional sports leagues and the NCAA vehemently oppose betting on the outcome of their games. Delaware has no major league teams, but the NCAA says schools like the University of Delaware can forget hosting any league championship games. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
time again for the Marketplace series, The Next American Dream. We Americans love tools, having them in our garage or our shed or, like me, the second bathroom of my apartment. But what if you could check tools out of a centralized location? Bob Horton's got you covered. He's the manager of a so-called tool library in Springfield, Missouri, and says there are a lot of benefits to letting someone else own the tools. So, Bob, welcome. What kind of equipment are we talking about here?
Well, we have all kinds of saws. We have a chainsaw. We have a circular saw. We have power washers. We have drill kits, paint spray guns, air compressors, and things like that. That really what we're trying to do is break down barriers for our neighborhood residents.
Now, Bob, you know, I think about a lot of these tools that I have personally, and I also think about convenience. And a lot of these things, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but it would be an inconvenience for me to have to go borrow something when I could have it in my garage. How do you convince people otherwise?
Well, the neighborhoods primarily that we serve are low to moderate income neighborhoods. So a lot of times they don't have those tools. It's a very inexpensive yearly fee that they pay, you know, to belong to this library. And then they can come and check these tools out for free.
How did you get this all started? What was the idea behind it?
Well, when I took over as executive director in 2004, I went and toured two different organizations like ours, and both of those had something like this. So I, you know, came back, talked to some people here in Springfield to talk about, is there a need for this, and would it break down some barriers that people might have to fixing up their homes? Because one of our main objectives in our revitalization efforts is to improve the housing stock in the neighborhoods that we serve, and we feel this very much does that.
You know, we live in this ownership society, Bob, and it seems to me that a lot of people want to have those items, or, you know, if they don't have those items, then they're not interested in using them in the first place. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think we do live in an ownership society, but we also live in we're also facing economic times to where people may not, if they need a tool, don't have the means to go out and purchase those tools. So we feel that there's definite value to becoming a member of this.
All right. Bob Horton, Executive Director of the Urban Neighborhoods Alliance in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Check out our Next American Dream section inside Marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.